Blog Talk Radio.
Understand that
We are a nation, or supposed to be a nation, of priests and kings. And if we can't accept that, if we can't walk in that, then we really don't want to accept what the Most High has given to us. And so there's, you know, there's some standards that we have to have for ourselves that the Most High calls us to. And we want to look at those things in relationship to, you know, where we're at today. Because, you know, we have to always deal with the root cause of our situation and where we're at today, and then put in place, you know, steps, procedures to get on the right track at the Most High. And so going back and understanding and accepting who we are as a people is one of the first things. If you are not convinced as to who you are in the Most High, then you're trying to find someplace to fit in. And if you're not 100% convinced that this is who you are and what you are, then you won't really have a focus as to what you ought to be doing. You know, we got, for most of us, me included, one foot in the world making a living and another foot in the kingdom, you know, trying to live this life that the Most High has called us to. And so the first thing, you know, we have to have priority. And the priority has to be what's most important to you, what's most important to me. Is it most important that you just say that you are a member of a group of people, and then that group of people doesn't have anything that it actually stands for, or that group of people has certain things that it stands for, but not really? You know, are we being, what I'm saying is, are we being plastic? You know, plastic, anything made of plastic is fake. You buy a plastic plant, it's fake. You buy a plastic chair, it's a chair, but it's really fake because the real chairs were made out of what, wood. You know, it's plastic is something that was never really organic. And when it, you know, when it goes into the oceans and things like that, it don't break down. So a plastic person is a person that is not real. They are faking, you know, whatever they're doing, or they're doing it so incomplete. They're saying one thing, but their actions don't really prove that out. When it comes to this particular job, us as a people, let's do this. Because, you know, I will start and just start to ramble on and on, because Most High just has me all over the place with this. But, you know, as we, you know, I don't want it to be single input. As people join, you know, I want people, us to participate if we find it's important to us as an individual. You know, a lot of us say things, you know, we will attend, but there's only so much of ourselves we're willing to give. And, you know, when it comes to the Most High, everything that I see in here from his people, he says, I want your all, over and over and over again. So that's what my mind frame is at. I'm not saying everybody's mindset is there, that I want your all. Some of us are hurting. We're just looking to stop hurting. Some of us want redemption. Some of us want, you know, we're tired of going through the motions, but then we don't know how to actually get out of that rut. You know, I see a lot of our lives like we are a person with one foot nailed to the floor. I want you to imagine this picture. You got one of your feet nailed to the floor, literally, and you're trying to move forward. And every time you take a step, you just go to the side. And every time you take a step, you go to the side. And so you end up going around in a what, circle? Because you can never move that other foot that is nailed to the floor. It's a pivot, and you end up going around in circles. And then we go around in circles so long, we create a rut for ourselves. You know, a little ditch that we can't get out of. Because now that one foot can only go so high, and it can't get out of that rut that we have created for ourselves. And if we don't do things to come out of that rut, if we don't have help, a lot of times, then we will stay in that rut. So a lot of people feel hopeless because they're going around doing the same things over and over and over again. But, you know, the truth of the matter is society says, hey, doing the same thing over and over and over again and expecting a different result is a sign of insanity. If something in your mind is not clicking, it says, hey, I got to do something different to get out of this rut. So we want to go back and look at our roots, but we're going to have to, we can't just go back and look at our roots because there are some things that have changed over time, not societal-wise. I'm not looking at society. We're going to look at those things and how do we implement some of these things, you know, that are in the law. How do we implement them today? You know, as a society, as a culture, because this has to become a way of life. We can't be in this world. We're in this world, but we can't be of this world. So, you know, there are some things, some rules that we have to put in place, but we have to also kind of adjust them for the time period for which we live in. And those things all will need to be addressed. But, you know, those are the things that I want to talk about as a group because, truthfully speaking, we are all individuals. And the group dynamics, those things that need to be in place as a group of people, as what we call culture, we have to all be believing the same things and doing the same thing. Culturally, there's some things, accepted behavior and not accepted behavior, culturally. And so if you're not committed to it, then it doesn't make sense to even do it. For the simple fact that it just causes confusion and everybody's not of the same mind. So we got to understand these things, that this is what the Most High had called, you know, this is the standards. And we want to look at his standards because we must return to his standards. If we accept who we are as a people, we must return to his standards. We can't look at, you know, this world that we live in, the society that we live in, the culture that we live in, and say, oh, we want to implement these things from this culture, from this society, into what the Most High has defined. And that is what Israel has always done. That's been the problem. We wanted to be like them. That has always been the problem. So let us do this. Let us do our statement of faith and pray in, and then we're going to, you know, like I said, open up the phones. I don't want, you know, again, this is not all about Brother Miles. I want to help set some standards and have some guidelines and put us on a path, but I want input as well. You know, we don't all suffer from the same thing. And so, you know, we may need some, I think we need input from everyone. Because everybody brings a unique perspective, we'll chew on those things and incorporate what we can. If it's good, it's good. If it's not good, don't be offense. You know, because if what I say is not good, I want you to say, hey, I don't know if we can do that or if that will work. Then we'll, you know, chop it up. But, you know, as a group of people, God wants us to be of one mind. That means that, you know, when a group comes together, the group dynamics, the you know, whether it's a Rotary Club or a football team, you know, they're there for one specific goal, and they're supposed to be on the same sheet of music. If we're all trying to do our own thing, then we're going to have problems. Okay? Just that simple. All right. Our statement of faith. And let me get my glasses. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. I believe all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim, according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah, according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I am a new covenant child of Yah, according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I am of the royal priesthood, according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah, according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I am a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Christ, Mashiach, which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us start this off by giving the Most High a hand clap of praise and lifting him up, because it is only by him that we are here. We owe everything to him. Father, we glorify you. We lift you up and we magnify your name. Hallelujah to you, Father. 10,000 praises to you, Father. You alone are our Elohim. You alone shall we bow down to, and you alone shall we serve, Father, for you are our Elohim. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Father, we thank you for this day that you have brought us into. And we glorify your name. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Let me have you ladies to cover your head as we turn toward the east. And we go before the throne. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those that trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen and amen. All right. Let us go to the book of 1 Corinthians this morning. And we just want to get chapter 3. We want to get one verse out of there for this morning, for our scripture reading. 1 Corinthians, chapter 3, verse 17. I can get two verses, 16 and 17. Know ye not that ye are the temple of Elohim, and that the spirit of Elohim dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of Elohim, him shall Elohim destroy. For the temple of Elohim is holy, which temple ye are. May the Most High be a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and the doing of his work in Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name. Amen and amen. All right. Our reference verse for this morning, going back into our roots, does anything that you do, if you don't find out what the root cause of it is, you can't really address it. You're only addressing symptoms. One of the problems with our people that I'm really, 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 really believing that we say, but we don't really believe it. Let us go to Exodus chapter 19. We're going to go back to the beginning. Not when the Most High sent Jacob them into Egypt. We want to go to when he brought us out as a nation, because this is when we became a people. We were, you know, we had the patriarchs and we had families and we had brothers and they multiplied and we got tribes. But by the time the Most High brings us out of Egypt, we are large enough to be a nation of people. And so we want to start there and make that our reference point. The book of Exodus, chapter 19. And we understand that we have been brought out of Egypt. The Most High has brought us into the wilderness. And we did this during Tabernacles, and we will revisit this again during Tabernacles, because the scene at the Most High, you know, when we realize that Moses has brought our people into the wilderness, and it's within the first 2 months, the Most High comes down to talk to the people, not just to Moses, but to the people. And he said, I'm doing this so that you would have fear of me. He made it so terrible for them, the sound and the sight of him, what they could see, that he said, you know, this should put the fear of me in you. Now, they did have fear. No, you go talk to him, Moses. If we go over there, we're going to die. But it wasn't, to me, when I'm looking at it, it wasn't the type of fear that sustained them. You know, the Most High had to kill some of them. There wasn't a few, 1,000. Okay? But we want to look at what he first said to them. Okay? Because this is what he wants. This is what he chose us for. This is supposed to be our occupation, what we do, what we offer to the world. This is the service and the commodity that we're supposed to be offering to the world. This is what I chose you for. I didn't choose you to be a banker. I didn't choose you to be an actress or a movie star or a lawyer or whatever in this world. This is the occupation that I called you to. Get verses 5 and 6. Exodus chapter 19, verses 5 and 6. Now, therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure. Again, that word peculiar means extra special. So special, you know what? You're the kind of treasure that I lock in a vault. I put a guard on it. I put alarms. I put a couple of angels around it. That's how special you are. That's what that word peculiar means. A peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words that thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. This is what I want for you. This is what I've chosen you for, to be a kingdom of priests to me. We have to understand that this is our calling. This is what the Most High has called us to as a people. And our forefathers wanted to be the priest to, it seemed like, everything but the Most High. Not, and like I'm saying, this is not all absolute. There were some good priests. There were some good kings. There were some good judges. But overall, the Most High doesn't tolerate sin. And how little does he tolerate it? One man took something out of a temple of another nation, Ai, hid it in his tent. And the Most High says, you know what? I can't be among y'all. There's sin in the camp. One person got people killed because the Most High says, you know, I'm removing my protection because I'm looking at you as a unit of many. So when we look at units of measure, we can have one straw, and that straw is individual, or we can have one box of straws. And the Most High is looking at the box of straws. And there's one bad, there's his perfection is so perfect. There's one bad straw in the box. I don't want the box. So we got to understand how he looks at things and what he's looking for in a people. That means that the way that we are different from the animals, the way that we are different from those things that are made, from the seeds that go in the ground that bring up the trees, the plants, is that we are an intelligent seed. We are in seed form right now, whether you know it or not. But we are the type of seed that we can choose whether to be good or evil. An orange seed is just that. You put it in the ground, it's going to come up an orange tree. But he says, you and I, we're going to come out people, but we get to decide what type of people we are and what type of fruit we're going to have. That's the difference between us and everything in this creation. And so we got to understand that individually we all have to decide to be what the Most High has called us to be. That's why we have to study. That's why, you know, because that the word of Yah going into our spirit is a type of programming, a type of instruction set. And if we understand programs, you know, like from work or whatever, when you have a program, a computer program, and if you look at the word of Yah like a computer program, then the instructions going in should cause certain types of actions to be taken, certain type of tasks to be performed, certain types of output to come out. And if the instruction that is going in is bad, then you could get bad output. If the CPU has a flaw in it, and you send it an instruction, it will not process the instruction correctly. The CPU would be your brain, your heart. So the word of Yah are simple instructions that we are to consume and process and then perform. If we nullify those simple instructions, then simple instructions nullified means to set at naught, that we ignore it or we don't do it. Something in our logic has told us, no, I don't need to perform that task. I need to take this logic loop, and instead of doing that, I need to do something over here, or I need to do nothing. And so we're processing the instructions, and when we nullify the instructions of the Most High, the simple instructions, nullify, take the first letters of those words, you get sin. We take the simple instructions of the Most High, and we don't do what it says to do. We nullify it. Or we do something else, still nullifying the instruction, it equals to sin because we disobeyed the instruction. So to use a computer analogy to this, when we eat the stuff from the world, when we consume the doctrines, the philosophy, the standards, and we process those through our central processing unit, our CPU, our brain, and the instructions are corrupt. They're like a virus. Then it's going to corrupt the complete system. So the system is going to start doing stuff that it's not supposed to do or not doing stuff that it's supposed to do. This is us. So man with computers has tried to replicate the human mind and the way the human mind works, the human body. And that's what this whole AI thing is about. Can we make a machine think like a person? Can we feed it a set of programs that tell it how to behave and then give it those programs instructions and watch the computer, the AI, carry it out? This is what the Most High did with us on a higher level, on a much higher level. But you got to understand that we have to go back to the base program. We got to go back to the beginning and decide, what are we? Yeah, we know we're all human beings. But what were we called and designed and supposed to be purposed to do as a people? The Most High said, I created you. I formed you to be a nation, a kingdom of priests. And I'm giving this priest instructions to do certain things. And I want you to carry out my order. Somehow Israel took input from everywhere else, or the nations, or we came out of Egypt, took input from someplace else and said, no, we'd rather do this. We'd rather do something else. We'd rather do what they're doing. So we really have to go back to the basics and start over. This is who we are as a people. This is what the Most High called us to. We want to be, you know, we want to be happy. We want to be content. We want to have joy. We want to have fulfillment. We want to have security. In other words, we want to be blessed. Then we got to come back to what the Most High has called us to as a people. You know, it makes no sense to me whatsoever to say I'm a Hebrew Israelite and that when I read the Bible and say that I'm that person that the scripture is talking about and I want to do other than what he's telling me to do. I don't even pick up on what he's telling me to do because I'm so caught up in this current life, you know, what the cards that life has dealt with. Now, we as his people have to understand that, yeah, we all know we've gone through some things. I don't have to keep reiterating, you know, certain things over and over again. I remind us so that we keep concepts. Because people have short memory. You know, we're caught up in the moment. But our, you know, we got some short-term instructions that we get that really need to be incorporated into our long-term memory and storage. We need to have some of our basic instructions rewritten because they have been corrupted. The way that we think, what's important to us, what should be important to us has been corrupted. Our first thought, and you can correct me, you know, I want to open up this up, but our first thought is not that we're priests. Our first thought is that, oh, well, how will we identify ourselves? How will we identify ourselves that gives us merit, that gives us meaning, that perhaps makes us feel justified and fulfilled, that we have purpose. That's the word I'm looking for. Our first definition for ourselves of what we are, our purpose is not that we're priests. It's that we're something else. You know, whether it is mother or father, or whether it is the occupation that we have. I am an artist or a singer or an accountant or a lawyer or an IT specialist. That is how we first identify ourselves, you know, as, you know, barring gender and that kind of stuff. So we have to rewrite some of the instructions that we have in order to be able to go back and pick this up. Our first thought has to be that we are the priests of the Most High. We have to step into that. We have to believe that we are the priests. We have to say, okay, my first function in life is to be the priest of the Most High, not to be the truck driver or to be the IT specialist or to be whatever else. But we are the priest of the Most High. This is what we were called to. This is our main function. And because we are out of whack, we never have been in whack, in step with the Most High. When we go back into Torah and the reason that the scriptures and everything, the stories have been given to us, so that we can go back and see where they went wrong. The first was attitude. Who are we? And then to follow the instructions that were given to us. You know, when I went back, and this is just so funny to me. It's funny, but it's sad. I want you to close your eyes, and I want you to humor me. I want you to close your eyes. I want to paint a picture for you, okay, in your mind. I want you to imagine that it is twilight in the evening. And all of a sudden, now you've been told to expect this. You've been told, hey, go wash your clothes, take a bath, get cleaned up, don't have no sex, okay? Don't come at each other. You've been told this, okay? And all of a sudden, you start hearing the sound of the shofar. And whatever this note was, you just start to hear this note, the sound of the shofar blowing. And it starts to blow louder and louder and louder. And you get up out of your tent and you go outside and you look toward the mountain of the Most High. And you see this cloud, dark cloud coming down on the mountain. And there's thunderings and lightnings and you can see like fire on the inside of this cloud. And the cloud lights down on top of the mountain, and then you see the rocks and stuff start to melt, literally start running, you know, like lava down this mountain. And the trumpet is still getting louder and louder. And Moses said, come on, let's go. Let's go to the edge of the mountain where we are supposed to go. And then Moses goes up. And the Most High says, hey, some of those people might break through. I know I told you to tell them don't come up. But some of them still might try to come up. Get down and make sure that they don't come up. Moses comes back down to the mountain to you, and he says, the Most High wants to make sure that none of y'all break through this barrier lest he break forth on you. Well, the people by this time are... they're really afraid. And he says, the Most High has said this. And the people say, no, you go talk to him. You tell him everything that he says. We agree with and we will do. But you go tell him. We heard him talking to you and we're afraid. Not even 30 days have gone by. I want you to imagine this now. You just saw this. And not only that, the Most High gave you the Ten Commandments directly, not to Moses, but to the whole nation. Because he said, I want them to hear when I talk to you so that they will believe you forever that I talk with you. So they won't be saying, oh, you say God talked to you. But we ain't never heard him talk. He says, I'm going to make sure that they hear me. Okay? Have this picture in your mind. And then you hear the Most High giving you the Ten Commandments. Okay? Now, they're not written down yet. Spoken them to the people. And all the people hear him. And then he calls Moses up into the mountain and says, all right, now come on, and then we're going to write this down. But he spoke them audibly to the people. While Moses is up in the mountain, before 30 days have gone by, these people have built them an image of a golden calf. What? So from the very beginning, there's something innate about us as a people, and maybe it's just human nature, but we're speaking about the people that the Most High was dealing with. I just told you, I want to make you a nation, a kingdom of priests. And you shall have no other God before you. You shall not make any image of any other God. And before 30 days, you have broken that? Before 30 days, they said, we don't know what happened to Moses. But you heard the Most High speaking. You saw him come down on top of the mountain, and the mountain melt. You heard the trumpets, and you were sorely afraid. Didn't even want to go speak with him, but within 30 days, before a month is over, you are telling Aaron, make us a God. So I know that people are fickle. I have to look at the examples in the book and say, I can teach you whatever about the Most High. And if you are left to your own devices, the scripture says you probably go off and do something else. You'll probably go and make up something. You'll probably find a reason to do, you know, what you think is right. This is the example that I get out of the scripture. And what's to make me to think that we are any different? So this is what we're dealing with. From the very beginning. And the Most High says, you know, I wrote those statutes, those commandments, I wrote them down and I gave them to you to read and study. And that still wasn't good enough. So a new covenant I have to make with you. And I'm going to pour out of my spirit on you. And I'm going to dwell in you. If this is real for us, if it is real, then, and you believe that the Most High is dwelling in you, then there has to be some level of conviction, some degree of, I can't do the things I used to do. I have to change. I must be changed. There's a spirit, he says, this is the thing about the Most High is, he's not going to make you do anything. Very few men has he actually made do something. He told them, and then if they did it, they were obedient. If they didn't do it, they were disobedient, and they suffered the consequences. But he says, I'm going to put myself in you to remind you, to convict you that these are my statutes, my laws, and my commandments. Because none of us have ever seen this vision of God, Elohim, coming down, lighting on top of the mountain. This storm is like no storm you probably have ever seen. And I've seen some bad storms. I mean, where the clouds are where the clouds are literally black, and it's ominous looking. But then inside of this cloud, you see fire and you see lightning like out of a volcano. And you hear our voice speaking to you. We haven't experienced that. So we don't have that to relate to. So what would make us do the right thing? What would make us do what the Most High is calling us to do? If they saw it and within 30 days corrupted themselves. Now, they're coming out of slavery, just like we came out of slavery. But their slavery was not, I don't believe, the same as ours. It didn't last as long, number one. But number two, we weren't being made, you know, to do things like we were in the diaspora. So, you know, I want input. What would make us, if they would corrupt, if they saw that and would corrupt themselves after 30 days, before 30 days, really, let's just say before 40 days, because Moses was up on the mountain 40 days, but they had already started, you know, just riotous acting, you know, having orgies and, you know, really worshiping Baal, because when you think about what they were doing, what it says they were doing, the same thing that they do when they worship Baal. And so if within a month they could corrupt themselves, what is going to keep us? What is going to make us come together as a people, accept the priesthood, the job that the Most High has given us, make it our priority, and start to live as the priest of the Most High, conducting ourselves as the priest of the Most High. Because I know, left to our own devices, people tend to do what is easy for them, what's simple for them, not what's hard. You know, we get into positions where, you know, I just don't feel like getting up, or I don't feel like going out and doing that, or I don't feel like, you know, whatever. You know, and here's the crux. Here's an oxymoron, okay? Because I want us to understand what we're dealing with, at least what I see. Now, if you see something different, I don't want you to be quiet. But I'm trying to get to the root cause. We will go to work for the man, whatever man that is, and we will try to be the best that we can at our job. For those of us who take our job seriously or who are doing anything similar, anything close to what we think we want to be doing. I mean, I love IT. I've always loved computers and what makes them work and how they function and how they talk to each other. And I tried to become the best at it that I could be. And I know most of us are the same way concerning our profession. We want to be professional. But the truth of the matter is, your true profession, if you claim to be or want to be a citizen of the kingdom of the Most High, and you want to be part of Messiah's priesthood, is that we are not very professional about it at all. We don't even take the job seriously. We just say it. It's something separate, but we don't really see it as our true occupation. And then we don't represent because truth of the matter is, most of us were in trouble. Most of us brought the world into this. We didn't die to those things. We didn't do what Messiah said. You must be born again. That means that that old person is not supposed to exist in some form. Yeah, you didn't physically die, but he says, hey, look at all those things in your life that are not like me, that transgress my laws, that are egregious to me, and kill those things off about you. I don't care whether it was fornicating or whether it was stealing or whether it was being prideful or whether it was drinking in excess or smoking in excess or doing all these things, whatever it was. He says, kill that. But we didn't kill it. We just did what we did, just like the Egyptians, like our forefathers did coming out of Egypt. They brought Egypt with them. Do you think that they lived in Egypt for 200 years plus and it didn't affect them? That they didn't, some of them, they grew up in it. That's all they knew. They didn't know anything about being a Hebrew or an Israelite. It didn't exist. So they brought Egypt with them into the wilderness, just like we are bringing Egypt with us into the kingdom. We're bringing the old slave way into the kingdom. We're bringing this world into the kingdom. And we didn't really kill those things off. We brought them with us and tried to mold the kingdom around it. But we didn't get rid of those things. So what is going to make you, if you didn't kill that stuff off, like they didn't kill it all. As soon as you feel you're alone, as soon as you are tried and tested, you will go back to that stuff. I don't care whether it's relational-wise or habit-wise, because you didn't kill it all. Now, they didn't have that circumspection. They didn't have that view. We have that view. We can look back. We can look and see what they did. And we can look at ourselves and say, oh, that's like them. We can see the root cause. They never accepted that they were the priesthood. Not really. They never accepted being holy. This was the problem. So if we go back to the root, the Most High says, I want to make you a kingdom of priests, a holy nation. And in a lot of our minds, I can't be holy. If you can't be holy, then what are you doing? I mean, we have to ask ourselves these questions. What are we doing? If we can't be what he said, what he called us to be, what are we doing? Because we want to keep hold on that old stuff. We want to keep Egypt. We want the flesh pots and the leeks and the onions and the bread, and the old worship of the calves and all that stuff. We want the cross. We want to be able to sin and say, I'm sorry, but then go back and sin again. And say, I'm sorry. Y'all forgive me, but I got this itch I got to scratch. And I know I'm not in the proper relationship, but my body needs. We are bringing the same stuff into the kingdom. The Most High said, no. I gave you the process. I told you to die to that old man. I told you to Consider the cost. So we got to first realize who we are, what we were called to, and we have to accept the assignment. Our forefathers accepted it and didn't do it.
That's hot.
The forefathers accepted the assignment and didn't do it. All that Yah has said we will do, they accepted it. We want to get into the kingdom. We say we're tired of playing the games. We're tired of saying we're one thing, and then we are doing something else. We know that we're being hypocritical. But if we want to heal and we want the Most High to be with us, if we want to heal and have the Most High to be with us, if we want to say that we are his children, because I told you in the scripture where he said, no, I gave you the power to become the sons of Elohim. That means that if you got to become it, you're not it.
Okay.
Somebody want to say something? If not, mute your mic on your end. So getting to the root cause. Do you really want to accept the profession that the Most High has called you to? That's what each and every one of us has to answer for ourselves, Jew or Gentile. You have to come to the place where you say yes or no. The Most High does not like lukewarm. Because I wish that you were hot or cold. At least that person that has chosen evil has made a choice. But if you lukewarm, you on the fence, you about being, lack of a better word, half-assed about doing my work, I will blow you out of my nostril like you snot, not consider you or give you a second thought. Because who blows snot out of their nose and gives it a second thought? It's just something that was undesirable. So you and I, we have a decision to make. The Most High does not want part of us individually. We want to go back to the root. You got to first accept the assignment. Do you want to be a priest of the Most High? Do you want to be a member of that nation? Do you want to really live by the statutes, the laws, and the commandments? Do you really want to help fulfill the vision of the Most High, have his oracles, and be the ones that give it properly to the world? To see what we've been doing as a people is saying one thing and then giving the Most High what we think he deserves to have, what we're willing to give up. And the Most High says, I don't need nothing from you. What I have asked you for is your all. If you're not willing to give me your all, don't give me none. And if you're not willing to do that of your own volition, of your own will, because you want to do it, I don't want it. I don't want it. This is what he says to us. If you are given an offering that you really don't want to give, the Most High says, don't give it. I don't want it. It goes with everything. If you're not serving him because you really want to serve him, he don't want it. And see, we have this issue committed 100%. You know, we'll give 100% devotion to a man or a man to a woman. I'm just so in love with them. I'll bend over backwards for them. I'll do anything that they want. But then when it comes to Elohim, your creator, this man or this woman is above the Most High. In your mind, in your heart, in your actions. Now, I know, y'all know I'm not telling a lie, but you see, we have to get to the root cause. Are you willing to accept the assignment?
Amen.
It's that simple. We cannot get better. We're going to be going through the motions, doing all kinds of things, trying to find fulfillment, trying to find, you know, self-worth, putting what defines us something other than what the Most High has called you to do.
Man.
So this is the root cause. This is, and the Most High, I don't want anybody listening to me to say yes to Brother Miles or say yes to the Most High because you feel guilty. This is something that he wants you to want for yourself. This is something that he wants you to define yourself as because you see the value in it and you want to be it. See, Israel is saying, oh, we don't have no financial power. We don't have no political power. We don't have no whatever kind of power you want to define, you can say that we lack it, except for when it comes to doing wrong. But we don't have the power. But the Most High says, you don't have the power and you don't prosper in those things because it's not what I called you to prosper in. And they call you to be the bankers of the world or the media giants of the world or the corporate giants of the world. I called you to be my priesthood of the world. And we want to assign that, like you said last night, we want to assign that to other people. And they get mad when they do it and if they prosper in it. He told us, you have brought strangers into my sanctuary. I called you to be the priest, and you have brought strangers into my sanctuary, uncircumcised in heart and uncircumcised in flesh, to do your job. And then you wonder and you marvel at why you're going through what you're going through. Can we hear the Most High? I am a priest of the Most High Elohim. I am a servant of the Most High Elohim. People on my job will not tell you any otherwise. People on any other job that I have will not tell you any otherwise. Once the Most High, I realized that he had called me and I accepted his calling, now, I didn't let people just treat me any kind of way or talk to me any kind of way or tempt me in just any kind of way. from the very first day. This is who I am. And so, no, I'm not participating in those things. Oh, you don't do, no. Not doing that. Why? This is who I am. This is what all of the patriarchs understood. This is who I am. And I cannot live a life that's contrary. You know, if your whole life is laid out before the world, okay, listen to what I'm saying. If your whole life is laid out before the world and your whole standards of how you're supposed to conduct yourself, it's not a secret society. So you say you're a child of the Most High, and the book says this. Why are you doing that? You claiming to be something, but you're not even living up to what you claim to be. So that's a problem. And that's why I tell a lot of the brothers, they won't follow with me because I say, hey, you can't be out there acting like the world and then think that when they follow you, that they're following you because of the Most High. They're following you because you're allowing them to do the same things they were doing in the world. So, oh, yeah, I'm going to invite you over. Let's smoke a joint. Let's get high and trip out together. Let's open this bottle of wine and get a buzz and crack jokes and start fighting because you know what happens when we get on alcohol. Just crazy stuff. And so you hanging with me because, oh, yeah, come on, brother, let's go out to the club and let's go find some strength. Yeah. Probably got strange at home you ain't been with. And so then we start speaking the Bible. We start speaking the word. But we acting like they act. We doing what they're doing. And we want to say, they're hanging with you. Why? Because I ain't got to do nothing different. I've been doing this all my life. Now, y'all know I'm not lying. Been there, done that, seen that. If I'm the pastor and I'm chasing skirts, I'm going to tell you not to chase skirts, and we chasing them together. If I'm the pastor and I'm telling you, come over, let's fire up. Let's get high. Talk about the word. If I'm the pastor and I'm saying, oh, let's come over and let's queue up and let's celebrate the feast day, and we just, you know, we just going to get drunk. You with me because we're doing the same things we have always been doing. And as soon as one of us stop that, and the other one don't want to stop, trust me, there ain't no relationship there because the relationship wasn't based upon y'all. It wasn't based upon we the priesthood. We're not doing anything to perfect our craft. We're together because we like getting hot. We like getting drunk. We like seeing which one of the sisters are like two brothers. We want to see which one of the brothers, you know, might be available. I can make him my husband. Now, if I'm lying, somebody tell me that I'm lying. And as I said, this
you
is
are
not
absolutely telling the truth. You are absolutely telling the truth.
All right, amen, my sister, because we have to deal with this stuff. You can't say that we are the children of the Most High and we're representing the Most High and people are going to look at you like you're stupid. And what we tend to do is this. I'm just going to call it out, okay? What we tend to do is this. Birds of the of a feather will flock together.
Flock together.
So we develop our little cliques, and we are hanging out with each other because we like to do the same thing. Mm-hmm. And we kind of believe the same way.
Mm-hmm.
But let somebody really call you to the carpet. Going back to our roots. You and I, we as a body, I'm going to tell you right now, my mind is made up. There is nothing anybody could say to move me back into the world, to make me do anything
amen,
other
brother.
Than what I'm doing
amen.
Right now.
Amen.
Amen, brother.
But what about you? But each and every one of us has to make up our own mind. Each and every one of us has to look at this assignment and say, do I love the world or do I want this? Because you cannot be halfway in and halfway out because he has already told us he hates that. And you can't be transitioning your whole life. Well, I'm trying to get better. You know, the world has a saying that they go by, just do it. Just do it. That means that we have to seriously consider what defines us. And right now, I don't think it's the priesthood. I don't think that we are where the Most High wants us to be, even that we have accepted the assignment. We want to be healed from post-traumatic slave syndrome. We want to be healed from the curses. Then each and every one of us has to go back and make a conscious decision. A conscious decision. And we have used up all that static. I hope that's not my line. So I'm going to mute you for a minute. So, each and every one of us, we want to be made whole. We want to heal. We want to be called the people of the Most High Elohim. We want to qualify as his children. Then you have to make the conscious decision and the commitment to do so. This is the very first thing. You know, I don't really and shouldn't really have to go back over the statutes, laws, and commandments. I shouldn't have to reteach you things that you already have heard and know. We are going to go over some of that stuff because some things that, you know, as a standard, because right now, you know, we kind of got this loose, leaf, weak standard that you ain't nobody holding you accountable but you. And if you mess up, the only person you got to really answer to is you. Got to be a standard that we hold ourselves to as a people. That standard has to be the standard of the Most High Elohim. Must be. Can't be our own standard. That's why we have to go back and look and say, okay, what? Not necessarily were our customs, because a lot of the customs that our people adopted, they got from the other nations, and the Most High said, don't do it. So let me see if this static is gone away. Yah is real. It's funny how that goes together. Are you real? Because this is what the Most High wants from us. You have to pick up and say, yes, I'm a priest of the Most High. I'm a member of a nation of priests. I'm a member of a holy nation. Therefore, I must be holy. And I must pick up on those things and do those things that make me holy. Because this is what he said from the very beginning. This was not an afterthought. And you have to commit to being holy. So when it comes to the sin, when it comes to, you know, the personal pleasures, the Most High says everything in its order and in its place. You know, if you get a buzz, I don't do anything, but, you know, the scripture don't say it's a sin to drink, okay? It says it's a sin to be an alcoholic, a wine bibber, somebody who lives to drink. They drink every day. You got to have some alcohol every day. Let me say it differently. Because you can have alcohol with your meal, and it's not to get you a buzz. Even though, you know, when you have it, you still may get that slight buzz. But when you're drinking, even outside of that. Or when you're smoking weed. Because it gives you some type of buzz. It's not for pain management or anything like that. Or when we're smoking cigarettes. The scripture don't specifically say that it's a sin. But then you have to look at yourself and say, if I'm the temple, okay, let's change that. Would you walk into the temple with a cigarette in your mouth? Or a joint in your mouth? Are we not greater than the building itself? So should we not hold ourselves to a higher standard? To be holy. Now, again, anything that we're doing, and we're doing it every day, then it is to affect our behavior. It's to make us feel a certain way. And we've gotten used to it. I mean, when I used to smoke weed, like I said, even in the military, knowing that it was a federal offense, just being stupid. But, yeah. Okay, so I know I'm smoking weed in the barracks. Commander coming knock on the door. Boom, 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 boom. You smoking weed in there? You know I'm smoking weed. You smell it. Don't do that no more. Not once, twice. Could have just been brought up on charges, kicked out of the military, or sent to, sent to Leavenworth, to prison. Being stupid. Yah brought me out of those things. Yah made me see and say, hey, those things are not of me. My wife didn't like it. She didn't like me smoking. She didn't like the smell on me. You know, I said, well, I'll quit for her, but I couldn't quit for her. Well, you know, I really don't like smoking, so I'll quit for me. I couldn't quit for me. And I would have to say that cigarette smoking was one of those vices that I, in and of my own self, my own strength, could not quit on my own. But I feared Yah. And I said, if you will let me go 3 days, I will never pick them up again. I made a promise to him. I will never pick them up again. Because I feared him more than I loved me. And that's what it took for me to come out of that box. And I haven't missed them a day, not once. And some of us still got these habits. You need to turn them over to Yah. How much, if you can't do it on your own, and you seriously want to be his priesthood, you seriously want to do and represent him, then you don't want to do anything that's going to defile the temple, which you are. Need strength. Then how much do you really fear him? Make him the reason that you do it. Yeah, I want to offer myself that living sacrifice, acceptable and holy unto you, which he says is just your reasonable service. It's just your reasonable service. I'm not asking you to do too much. I'm not asking you to go over the top. This is reasonable. Offer yourself as a living sacrifice. You see, what the world does, the world will look at you, and the world will listen to you. And if you're saying one thing and showing another, you lose all credibility. All credibility. Why should I want to be like you? That means if you represent the Most High Elohim, I don't want to be like him. Well, I don't want to be what your picture of him is. You understand why he says we cause the nations to commit wickedness by our disobedience, by the example that we set? So we have to come back to his thing. Old and young. There is no two ways about that. There's no two ways about that. You cannot say you're offering the world something different and you're doing the things that the world is doing. Yeah, we eat and sleep just like everybody else. Put our pants on or dress on like everybody else. But their behavior that is contrary to Yah, transgressing his commandments as a way of life. Hear what I'm saying. Transgressing his commandments as a way of life. That's what they're doing. So if they see you doing it, what are you doing different? How are you going to offer me salvation from these things? And I know in the world, I know this is wrong. I know that this weed ain't doing me no good, that it makes me lazy. Causes me to do and say things I ought not do, lackadaisical. I be tripping. This alcohol makes me mean. These cigarettes just filling up my lungs with tar and nicotine. I got this cough or this phlegm coming out of my lungs, and it's just part of my life. But I know that is not good for me, and you're saying that you're a child of the Most High, and you're doing these same things, and how are you going to make it better for me? Because I'm doing these things because this is what I was taught to do. I'm in the world. In the world, we do these things to get along, to socialize. We're at the bar smoking and drinking when we could do that. We're all out in the meat market, having a drink, sizing one another up, seeing who will take us home or who we can take home. We're at home beating the kids senseless because we're not happy with ourselves. So we want to take it out on them. How are we different? This is not what the Most High called us to. I called you to be holy. I called you to be set apart, sanctified. That means to be set apart, different than them. We want to be made whole. This is what he's calling us to. This is what you and I have to grab hold to and not let go of. So sometimes there's some things that we do. You know, when you go on a job, you don't know everything perfect about that job. There's some things that you may have to learn. And there's some things that you may have to perfect in order to become effective at your job. Prayerfully, there's somebody to train to get you on your way. And then you start learning it on your own and a better way for you to do it. That may be a little bit different than what they're doing, but brings the same result or a better result. When I was in the military and I was a manager and a supervisor, every time that I would get sent to a new base, I would go in and I would inspect everybody's desk. So I had a desk job, and, you know, we did computer stuff. And I would inspect their area. And ask them, hey, what are you doing? Why do you do it? And then how well are you doing? Because it became a point of management by fact, not management by feel. Well, I think, you know, I do a job this well. I think I'm doing it this well because of this. I feel like I'm doing it, you know, this well. Well, how many of that did you do? How many errors were there? How many had no error? How fast were you doing? That's that empirical data that tells me how well you know your job and how well you do it. We don't like to grade ourselves when it comes to the Most High. Because it's really not a job for us. And we really don't want to be graded. But this is your job. Or supposed to be. So in the job, I'm going to use the military, we had a uniform. Everything on that uniform had its place. Everything on that uniform meant something. And it was a standard. And you were graded on how you wore that uniform. Was the belt buckle shiny? Was it even with the edge of your pants where the zipper comes up? Were your pants creased? I mean, really creased? Was the shirt starched and creased? Was your name tag in the center in the right place? Were your medals centered in on the other side? Were your shoes shiny? Was the standard? And the Most High is saying, you don't want to have a standard with me. I'm giving you my standards. You want to create your own. You ain't want to meet my standards. So then say you belong to me. Say that you exist for me. I pray we can hear this, because if we want to heal, if we want to get over, if we want to move beyond, if we want the Most High to show up for us in a crazy way, like he used to show up for our fathers, we got to do what he says to do. So each and every one of us, has to make that decision, because it's from here. Doesn't make sense to teach you things and say, this is what you ought to do, and then you don't do it. Doesn't make sense to say these are the standards and then you don't hold yourself to them. It doesn't make sense to say, oh, I am a child of Elohim, and then you don't walk as a child of Elohim. If I can't tell the difference between you and somebody in the world, then you have to ask yourself, what am I doing? Because the world, you're supposed to be sanctified, set apart. So if I meet you and you got on these tight pants that don't leave nothing to the imagination, and you got the boots hanging all out, I'm gonna be like, sister, are you my sister, or are you in this world? Because this is the way the world dresses. This is the way the women of the world advertise themselves. And when I was in the world, when a sister was dressed like that, she's telling me she's advertising, so she must want me to look. She's advertising, so she must want me to approach or somebody. If I'm a man and I'm saying I'm your brother, and every time you turn around, I'm checking out, you see me, I'm checking out one of the sisters behind. Got these Roman eyes. What's different about me? So we have to learn how to dress holy. We have to learn how to be holy. We have to learn how to talk holy. That's how we get better. And we do those things because we embrace what the Most High has called us to. So each and every one of us, you should have a piece of paper. Every morning when you get up, you should affirm who you are. I am a child. And what that means, because, see, we say some things that don't have no meaning behind it, just words. That's why he says, with your lips you worship me, but your heart is far from me. I'm a child of the Most High, and don't do anything to live like a child of the Most High. Don't try to grow up in it. Don't try to actually become it. It's just something that we say. And so we need to put some definition, some standards behind these words that we can believe in and we can walk in what the Most High has told us. We have to start being who we say that we are and stop being who we were. There's some things that just need to die. And sometimes we got to kill them daily because it's so entrenched in us that we would have to kill this thing daily. Every morning we get up, I need to kill this. I need to kill this thought right now. And when it comes back up again, I need to kill this thought until it stays there, because somehow they keep getting resurrected. One of the things that I know, that when you are through with something, when you truly are through with it, you are done with it. If it's a drug addict, if it's alcoholism, you cannot help that person until they come to the realization that they are through with it. As long as they're not through with it, they're going to find a way to do it. They're going to find a way to slip. But when you have committed in your heart that I am done with this, that's the only time you can be helped. And I don't care what it is with, if it's chasing skirts, if it's chasing bulges, if it's chasing money, if it's chasing whatever, whatever that addiction is, and there's all kind of addiction. So you may not be an alcoholic, or you may not be a pothead, or you may not be strung out on cigarettes, or you may not be a sex addict, or a attention, I don't want to say that word, love attention. You may be addicted to, I just always need somebody to feel sorry for me, because that's where I'm at. All kinds of addictions and all kinds of problems. But for each one of them, the solution is always the same. When you are tired of it, when you have made up your mind that I'm not going to be this way anymore, I'm not going to do this anymore, I'm not going to let it affect me this way anymore, we have to come to that decision in our life and hold on to it. So as this intro into getting back to our roots, each and every one of us has to look within ourselves and say, are we willing to be the priest of the kingdom? Do we want that assignment? Do we want what goes with it? Is this the life that we want? When somebody decides to be some type of athlete, they made a decision that I want to be this athlete, so if it requires me to train and how serious they are, it requires me to train 2 hours, 4 hours, 6 hours, 8 hours a day, that's what I'm going to do because I've made up my mind this is what I want to do. If it means I got to get up and run at 5 o'clock in the morning, then that's what they will do. If I got to lift weights 2 hours a day at this time, if I got to eat all this protein or all these eggs or whatever to build up my body, I'm going to do whatever it takes to be the best in that thing. And why is it that we can't go at the Most High with the same enthusiasm? With the same mentality. So we all have a decision to make. Because we the Most High, that's what he's looking for. Those people who choose, I chose you, now you got to choose me. So I just pray we can hear this, because if we want to get past the curses, if we want to step into the blessings, we got to do those things to come out of the curses. The things that got us into the curses was disobedience. The things that got us into the curses was not accepting the assignment, saying we accept it but doing something else. And you might say, well, I'm too old. No, you're not. Might say, I'm too young. No, you're not. I got too many other things going on in my life. You need to change priorities. Because, you know, we're all human. We all have things that we have to do to live in this world. But we also set our own priority. What's priority to us? You know, I'm not the best that I could be at Amazon. And I know I'm not the best that I could be at Amazon because it's not my priority. It's a means to an end. I was in the world, trust me, my priority would be to be the best and the best at what I do at Amazon. Every job that I have had, I have always been the best at it. I made sure of that. But my priority is not Amazon any longer. My priority is the kingdom. So I don't want to be the best at what I do at Amazon. I want to be the best that I can be for the Most High Elohim. We've got to come out of the world. So that means that let's bow our heads. On next week, we will pick this up and we will start looking at different areas of life that the Most High has assigned to us as a way of life and what we are to teach, what we are to walk in. And I really want to stay away from tradition, the tradition of men. And to review these things, because we've heard them before, but to review them and start incorporating them into our life. This is the way we behave. This is our standard. This is why we eat clean. Because, you know, we're doing some of these things, but, you know, the Most High said, food and drink don't make the kingdom. We're good on that. We'll keep the cleanliness laws as far as eating, you know, the dietary and that kind of stuff. And that's good. I'm not trying to talk against that, and I'm not. But the more important thing, we are woefully lacking it. As a people, individually, some of us are doing better in some areas than others. And that's going to always be that way. But we got to have some standards that we can all say, yeah, we go by this. And this is what the way we live. And this is why we live that way. So I'll tell you right now, I don't ever want to hear anybody say, oh, we live this way because Yah Global Kingdom lived this way. No, we live this way because this is what the Most High calls us to. We are the children of the Most High Elohim. We want to see better, we have to do better. And we can't play games with it. And I love you all, but I ain't playing no games with nobody. This is real. Your eternity and my eternity. It was not something that we should take lightly or play with or jeopardize in any kind of way. Because I look at that lake, and that lake ain't no joke. But more importantly, I would rather please my Father. And I ain't got to worry about the lake. Amen. Let that be our motivation. Because, you know, when I saw Messiah say, I have meat that you know not of. And I taught this lesson to us, but I don't know if we got it. I have meat that you know not of. The thing that drives me, the thing that fuels me is to do the will of the Father. I don't need no food. This is what motivates and drives me. This is what fuels me. That has to be your motivation too.
Amen.
So let's bow our heads. Father Yah, Elohim, the Elohim of Jacob, Abraham, Isaac, our Elohim. Father, we come before you, seeking your help. We know that you have set your standard in your word. Father, we need your help. to help us to become the priest that you have always wanted. We need your help every day. Correct us when we are wrong. We don't want to be bastard children. You say you correct those whom you love. If we are doing wrong, Father, and we are not walking in your ways, we are not accepting the assignment, if we are saying one thing and doing another, convict us in our spirit. Make us feel so bad that we just can't be comfortable until we start to do the right thing, until we line up with your will to be your children. Father, we don't want to be like the world. We believe you when you say that. We are in the world, but we're not supposed to be of it. Anything that we have brought into the kingdom, Father, anything that we have brought into the kingdom, it should have died a long time ago. Father, start killing it off in each and every one of us. Let it not be a hindrance to our walk. You are the great healer, Father, and we are coming together to be healed. That we might be your children. That we might walk in your way. That we might be the light unto the world.
Amen.
Help us to not be like the world, but to be like you. We need you. We want you. And we just want to be right with you, Father. In Yeshua HaMashiach, precious name I pray. Amen and amen.
Amen, bro.
We need to break some chains. We need to have some reprogramming. We need to mainly have some reprogramming. Because some of this programming, some of these instructions that are in us, some of these desires that are in us, some of them we're having a hard time letting go of. So I'm going to ask one question, and then we're going to go. And I don't want you to answer the. I don't want you to answer me. I want you to answer yourself. What in your life would you let keep you out of the kingdom?
Nothing.
Amen. I pray that is the answer for everybody. Because there's some things some of us are holding on to that may keep us out of the kingdom.
Brother Bowles, nothing and nobody.
Amen. 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 That should definitely be the attitude. Nothing and nobody. The kingdom should be your number one priority.
Amen.
Anything that's going to keep you out of the kingdom, you should be cutting off. And that's just being real.
Amen.
And I'm not saying it's going to be easy. But you have to be willing to cut it off. And he says, Paul said, I die daily. He's talking about those things, those thoughts, those behaviors that, you know, that he was, whether it was pride, whatever, that he was, that were a part of him that weren't desirable in the kingdom. Weren't desirable as a child of the Most High. So, you know, we struggle with our thoughts. We struggle with our our image of self. You know, I was the chief lawyer. I was the lawyer of lawyers. I was a Pharisee of Pharisees. And here I am now, this humble, lowly servant. You know, I have power and people behind me, and now I'm all by myself. And everybody want to kill me.
Mm-hmm.
The Pharisees want to kill me. The saints want to kill me. But the Most High told me when he selected me that I was going to suffer because I was puffed up and proud, and I was hurting his people. So we can struggle with things in our minds. We can struggle with those things that we feel like make us who we are and you know, define us as a person. That make us feel like we're somebody. Pick up this priesthood and feel like you're somebody and know that you're somebody.
Hmm.
There is no greater title than brother or sister in the Most High, in Christ. Pick that up and make that be what gives you your sense of worth, your sense of value. Because the truth of the matter is, you know, a lot of us define ourselves by the occupation that we do in the world. But the occupation that you have truly been called to, and only if you say, hey, I'm of the seed of Abraham. If you say, I belong to Christ or Yeshua, then how can these other titles, if you've been called to this, how can they give you more importance, feeling of being more important than what the Most High has called you to? So I want you to consider those things. Because this is what our forefathers did not do. They said, this is us, but they were always in transgression. We can't make the same mistakes. Can't see it and then make the same mistakes, or else I'm just saying, telling you, we're just stupid. With that being said, may the Most High encamp His angels around you. May they keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And remember, I love you, but you know Yah Elohim loves you way more. Shalom, fam.
Shalom, brother. Shalom, love
brother.
You too.
I'm worries. All I wanna do is jump, lift my hand up high and stomp. Clean me with the water, baptize, get dumped. I'm filled with the rock and now I'm drunk. Oh, one time for Shabbat. I'm working every day, can't wait for my rest. Holy days coming and I'm impatient. Hanging with the Mishpacha, good vibrations. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. You always said, teach me the way. I pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, you live forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim is worthy, a perfect. And his kingdom will reign forever. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, cause without you there's no need.